And so it's important that we realize that change and all that comes with it. As long as there is change, there's going to be the pluses and minuses, the polarities, the ups and downs, the black and whites. We're going to have these struggles. And this will happen until the end of the universe. After the end of the universe, what happens billions of years hence is the universe will fold up and we'll go into a state of what is called pralaya, which is an interesting state of a rest in between two creations. And in between creations, we don't cease to exist, but we exist in a different state where we absorb all these lessons that we've learned. We absorb them to the point that it's preparation for the next state of activity. And these this state of rest keeps reoccurring. It reoccurs in just within a week. We all work so many days, take a couple days off to relax. We go through periods of years where we struggle hard, and then we might have a year or two where we don't struggle as hard. We kind of kick back. We have a most of a lifetime where we work real hard. As a kid, we kind of kick back and relax, and then when we enter adulthood, we work like crazy, and then we have the period of retirement, hopefully, where people can kick back and relax, and then we have life and death. In life, we struggle and work really hard, and death, you can kick back and relax a little bit. And this this period of relaxation, work is a period that we have to go through. And all this comes into play with change. Now, change first really hit me hard when I was 13 years old. That's when I had the accident with my hand. When I was 13, I started making these rockets. I guess I was about 12 when I started making these rockets. Got a number of my friends interested, and we had a great time making these rockets, and we made them out of everything we could find, old shotgun shells, CO2 tubes, pipes, whatever we could find. And what worked really good was these old CO2 tubes. We'd punch a hole in the end of them and fill them up with match heads, put them on a wire and put a fuse on it, and man, it would make a tremendous explosion. And we never saw it again. We never didn't know how far the thing went. We never did recover one that went so far. And my neighbor friend came to me and he said, "I want you to show me how to make a rocket." I said, "Okay, come on over." And his brother Larry was my main companion in making these rockets. But Larry's older brother was the one he wanted me to show him how to make it. So he came over and I was showing him, and he put the whole thing together. And then he had to go to basketball practice, and there was just a couple more match heads to put in the CO2 thing. So I was holding it in my hand and tapping them in, and all of a sudden it blew up in my hand. And I was working on this old coal and wood range stove. It wasn't on. But we didn't think, those match heads were very difficult to ignite, and we didn't think it was possible to ignite it under, you know, any regular circumstances, but that turned out to be wrong. There was this great big washtub on the stove. My mom was just walking into the kitchen, and she was on the other side of the washtub, and when the rocket blew up, it split in half, and half went toward the washtub, right toward my mom. And I've always been thankful that washtub was there, because if anything happened to my mom, I would have had a hard time forgiving myself. But a piece went, it was a really thick washtub, but a piece went through half of the washtub and almost through the other side, so it protected my mom from getting hit. But she did have a hearing problem after that. It was so loud that her hearing was never the same afterwards.
That rock exploded in the house?
Yeah. Yeah. Right in the kitchen. And the funny thing about me, though, I think it cleaned out my ears because I could hear better afterwards. When I was in the hospital, I could hear my heart beating. It about drove me crazy. It was strange. My hearing got better and hers got worse afterwards. But the weird thing was, I looked at my hand and all I saw was a bloody mess, and I thought, not very many people get to see veins and everything like that. And then I thought, oh no, I could live with one bad hand, but two, is my other hand okay? And I was afraid to look, I thought. And I waited a minute and I go, thank God. So anyway, we had a neighbor drive us to the hospital, and they operated on me for 8 hours. I had match heads blown clear up into my way up into my wrist. It took them ages to dig them all out and patch me up. I think I had 120 stitches. But then I had six surgeries altogether afterwards, But anyway, that changed my life in a lot of ways. And people that have a lot worse accidents than me say the same thing. You have these Vietnam vets come back, and they're missing limbs or they're blind or whatever, and they say, well, in a lot of ways, it's the best thing that happened to me because it made me see things in a different light. And it's amazing that they can say that. And I've always said that if this is the worst accident I have in my life, I'm going to be really thankful. Because I've had close calls that could have been a lot worse. But the strange thing about the accident is it didn't handicap me hardly at all physically. Socially, it was a lot bigger handicap than the physical thing. I did just all kinds of hard jobs afterwards. I was working with bricklayers and construction, and did all kinds of scaffolding, building on high rises and different things like that. But doing the physical part wasn't hard, but keeping the job was hard. When I worked for the union, for instance, I'd get hired. And if they saw I had a bad hand, they'd fire me the next day, you know. So I had to hide the fact that I had a bad hand. And after I worked for them for a week, and they saw I could do the job, then they would keep me. So I had to hide the fact that I had a handicap for a week. Now, in today's world, I could probably sue them and live on Easy Street the rest of my life, which I wouldn't do. I don't believe in doing that, but... Nowadays it would be almost advantage, but when I was young it was a big disadvantage. So that was kind of a handicap. But the biggest handicap was with the girls, because it happened at the age I was just about to start dating, and before the accident, girls seemed to gravitate to me, and I had a good relationship with them, and I thought, well, I'm going to be pretty popular with the girls. But after the accident, the attitude of the guys didn't change much toward me, but the girls did. They were willing to be my friend, but that was all. They didn't want to be seen with me in a romantic way all throughout high school. And I found that very perplexing. And it bothered me a lot that I just couldn't get a date. The only dates I had in high school was outside of my high school. In my high school, I had none of the girls would be seen with me. And it was very, very strange, and it bothered me 100 times more than the physical handicap did. And so I thought, well, there must be some way I can change myself to make myself more attractive to people. So I started reading books. I read books like How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie, How to Sell Yourself to Others by Elmer Wheeler was a great one, all the self-help books I could get my hands on, and none of them seemed to do a heck of a lot of good, until I finally read one that said this. It said, you're not going to change much just by reading one book. He says, get a hold of every book you can get on read on this subject. Keep your mind full of positive thoughts, and you will find that the time will come that your goal of changing yourself to be the way you want can happen. Okay, so I pursued this angle. Then there's another angle I pursued. Shortly, when I was a young teenager, I got interested in handwriting. And when I started studying handwriting, I thought, well, you know, I ought to figure how I would write if I was the type of person I really wanted to be, and then I'll just start writing that way, and then maybe I'll change to be that type of person. So I experimented on that angle too. I started changing my handwriting to be the type of person I wanted.